So Wednesday morning at our worldview class, if you have been teaching worldview to teenagers for 8 years, 9 years, trying my hand at adults. Adults, man, they're so difficult. So we're doing that on Wednesday mornings, and been working through the story, capital S story. And Wednesday morning, we were just talking about creation and how the story, the main character is God. We're not the main character. God is the main character. And we were just going through some descriptors of God, all these different descriptors of God. And then I asked the question, of all these descriptions of God that we just shared, is there a description of God that you feel like people more readily accept? And then is there a description that maybe is more difficult to accept? And we just sang the one that someone brought up as that is probably more difficult to accept for American Christians, and that is the description of God as king, because we are Americans and we don't know what a king is. We know what a president is. I was born in 67. I do believe, if Google is correct, I have had 11 presidents in my lifetime, all of them elected. One of them sort of elected. He took over for Nixon, if you will. But anyway, he wasn't a crook. Anyway, sorry. And like, we have these layers of government, of elected people. And, you know, there are people my age in countries who've always had the same king. Can you imagine? Like, I've been through 11 elected presidents, and there are people who have had one king who wasn't elected, and he's called a sovereign. And there's a good chance he's just going to one day look at his son, who won't be elected, and say, it's all yours, right? And then that guy will run with it. So it's hard for us to imagine that kind of authority and sovereignty on a human level. Kelly and I were talking in the car. We went somewhere after that. And we were talking about the same thing. We kept going with that topic. And we realized it's actually more than that. It's not just that because we're American, we can't imagine king. It's because we're human. And it's hard for us to imagine a good king. And it's hard to imagine having freedom and having a king at the same time. Right? It's hard to imagine having a king and having freedom at the same time. Let's admit that. Does anybody remember the last time we had a king? Right, there was this tea in this harbor up in Boston, right? There was this fight that happened. We know, right? We did this Declaration of Independence, and then we had this guy George Washington, and everybody said, yay, be our king, and he said, absolutely not, so we wrote this Constitution thing. Yeah, we know. Because he even understood that Let's make this more oriented towards freedom. Years ago, about the time I first moved to Texas, took a trip to Israel, and we went over into Jordan. And when you go into Jordan, basically the first thing you see is a billboard with a picture of their king on it and his son. And you go, look at that. That's their king. And because I'm American and because I'm human, my first thought was, look at that propaganda. Look at that control. And then you go down the road, and guess what else you see? You start seeing smaller signs with the king. But then you're amazed at what a well-paved road it is. And so I'm just like, this is weird. Once you get from Israel to Jordan, anything Israeli is left behind. So your Israeli bus, your Israeli tour guide, your Israeli bus driver. They say in Israel you get a Jordanian bus driver tour guides. And so I was sitting near, there was a guy, Jordanian, sitting there, and I worked up the courage to ask him, probably like a stupid American, so tell me about the king. His signs everywhere, his face is everywhere. I asked a lot of stupid questions when I'm overseas, so please just go ahead and forgive this. I'm just like, your king's everywhere. You guys, you guys love your king? And he said, yes, actually we do. He's a good king. He takes care of us. He stands up to bad people. Look how well paved this road is. He's a good king. And guess what my cynical American brain did? Of course he is. You have to say that. Because your Jordanian friend there is listening to you, and if you said something bad about the king, he'd probably tell on you, and you'd get in lots of trouble. I'm sure he's a good king. Right? So, right, there's got to be an ulterior motive for you to say. And guess what? As it turns out, he's a good king, and they really do like him. So, what can I say? Because here's what happens. Of all Middle Eastern countries, like Jordan will tell you, we've got the best freedom because we have the best king. And yet here, every election, probably since George Washington, one person running for president points at the other person running for president and says, he just wants to take away your freedom. And no, he just wants to take away your freedom. A vote for me is a vote for freedom. And it's just like, rah, 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 right? And we're just all cynical of everything. And I told you this last week. I hesitated putting the word free in the name of this sermon series. But Paul did not hesitate putting the word free over and over and over and over and over again in the book of Galatians. What's a guy to do, right? So the words freedom and authority could cause division because we don't put the words together, do we? Authority, freedom. How does that work? Because the best gifts from God are so easily abused. And because Christians have a much deeper, more difficult to attain, more costly to attain kind of freedom. And oftentimes, Christians are all wrapped up in like the arguments and the anger about freedom, when on a personal level, Christians are just as, you know, unbelieving and prideful and angry and addicted and eat up with, you name it, as the rest of the world. So Christians can be the worst. I'll just point to me. The guy whose picture is on my driver's license, he can be the worst of assuming that that other guy has an angle, he has an ulterior motive, he is hiding something from me, he's out to get something. And yet, Christians can also be just as enslaved and not free. So today we begin Galatians with a very, very simple introduction. Really, my purpose today is this, because I just want to have communion. But we're introducing Galatians just with five verses, and this is really all I want to say. Paul is going to introduce himself as a man with authority, but he's a man without an angle. And everybody who's coming against Paul in this letter thinks he has an angle. Like, Paul has an ulterior motive. Paul's in this for himself. Paul's doing bad things. We'll get into this more next week. But Paul, he does have a certain kind of authority, as we'll see in a second. But Paul is really just, he's a chosen messenger with a savior with a message of freedom. So he's a messenger with a message. It's really simple. It's just five verses that take us to communion, the good stuff over here. And if you've read your New Testament, you're probably thinking to yourself, Dean, I've read all those letters Paul wrote. They all start the same way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you, something, 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 to something, something city. You're kind of almost sort of right, but not really. Sometimes they're a little different, and this one's a little different. Paul, an apostle, and then this really interesting line here, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man. And if you heard me read the New Living earlier, it was like not from a group, not from a committee, nor even through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised the dead, him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. Paul, an apostle. Now, if you want to get into any big controversies these days, and I won't get into what they are, but there are interesting approaches to the Apostle Paul. One is, Paul didn't write this, so I don't have to listen to it. Or, Paul isn't Jesus, so I don't have to listen to it. Those two things are normally said when there's something written that bothers the person who read it. So, if something in here really bugs me, I can just go, well, Paul didn't write that. Whew. Or, well, Paul's not Jesus. And you think that I'm just kind of exaggerating. I had a priest right down the road the first time I met him. Well, I love this guy. I could talk to this guy for hours. But the very first time I met him, he talked about the process of becoming a priest and the things he had to agree to do to become a priest. And he tells me, well, Jesus didn't say much about this particular topic. And I said, oh, well, he did kind of have something to say about that topic. And I said, and the Apostle Paul actually had a lot to say about that topic. And he looked me right in the eye and said, yeah, but Paul ain't Jesus. Well, why don't you just lay your cards on the table there, brother? So, but Paul is like, I'm an apostle, and so we can go back in time, and we can go to Luke 6, where it says, you know, Jesus goes up on this mountain, and he prays all night long, and then when day comes, he calls these 12 guys to him, and he calls them disciples, and he names them apostles. Or you can go to Mark 3. It says he goes up on the mountain. He calls him those he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. So Jesus isn't just, he's thinking, okay, I need some students. I need some apprentices, some disciples. I'm going to train them. They're going to be with me. I'm going to leave. They're going to be equipped to take this thing forward, and they're going to be apostles, and that name's going to be a really big deal. They're going to carry on my work in my name when I'm gone and when I've ascended. And it's not just Paul's emphasis. I wasn't chosen by men or through men. It wasn't like, you know, those last 11 after Judas is gone. You've read Acts at the beginning where they're like, who's going to replace Judas? Well, you know, drawing straws ain't so bad, so draw straws. Yay! Matthias, come on down. You're our lucky new apostle, right? And cool, that's fine if God wants to do it that way. But Paul says, I was chosen directly by Jesus. Like, I'm a first-hand apostle, not a second-hand apostle. Even though he says in 1 Corinthians 15, I am the least of the apostles, I'm unworthy to be called an apostle, for I persecuted the church of God. Like, I wanted those people to die. He describes himself elsewhere as being born later than the other apostles, as if to say he was in the apostle womb baking a little longer than the other ones because he wasn't ready to be born an apostle yet. Because God had a little more work to do on him. And so, you're trying to kill the church. That's a bit of an understatement. But I was chosen directly by Jesus. And you know the road to Damascus story. And he says, I've got all these brothers with me. They know I'm an apostle. They know Jesus chose me. And let's put an authoritative stamp on this. The one who chose me, his father is with him on this, and his father rose him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. So, I don't know if you know anybody that went through that process, but it's like, that's fairly authoritative to get raised from the dead. This is an apostle, and we could keep going and going, but we're going to go all the way halfway through chapter 2, or part of the way through chapter 2, where he's just going to keep talking about being an apostle, so I don't want to just keep doing this for 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm an apostle, not from men, but through Jesus Christ. To the churches of Galatia, and you're going, where's that? who's Galatia, why Galatia, where Galatia, when Galatia. That's next week. There's a whole thing on Galatia. In the meantime, you guys can argue with each other over lunch today. So what do you think Dean's going to say? Is he going to say it's early Galatia, late Galatia, southern Galatia, northern Galatia? What's he going to say? Because I know that's the burning question on your mind right this second. You're thinking it, aren't you? I can tell you are. Yeah. Alan is going to answer that. He's in the foyer listening right now going, we're not. Just Galatians next week. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And from here on out, we're preparing for communion. So that's the messenger. Here's his message. And this is an introduction, one verse, introducing us to the concept of Jesus Christ risen from the dead, who died first. You die before you're risen. Died for a reason, according to the will of the Father who raised him. Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father. To deliver us, to set us free. The rest of the book, right there. Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Romans 4:25, he was delivered up for our trespasses, raised for our justification. Alan preached 2 weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 15:3, I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. Wait a minute, I thought he died for me. He died for me, a sinner. I either die for my sins, or he dies for my sins. He died for my sins. I trust that, I believe that. That's what the rest of the book is about as well. But there's a second part to this. And to deliver us, to set us free from the present evil age. Isn't that just a fascinating little phrase? Ephesians 2:2 says that we once walked according to the course of this present evil age. In Romans 12, when he commands them, do not be conformed to this world. It's as if Paul knows that there's this default setting inside of us that we will simply conform to this world. We will conform to the present evil age unless someone comes in and rescues us from doing that. In Galatians, what he will tell us is there's a default setting in us called the flesh, and we will just revert to being rule keepers. And when we revert to being rule keepers, we will find that we're not very good rule keepers, and we'll just end up conforming to the world. And he says, Jesus died and rose again to deliver us from that. And to him be the glory forever and ever. So, when you think in terms of Jesus died and I was saved, you also think in terms of Jesus died and I was delivered. You say also Jesus died and I am being saved, and Jesus died and I am being delivered. I'm being delivered from this present evil age. And then you say, oh, it's an age, it won't last forever. This age will come to an end, so this age has a certain power that it wants to wield over me, and Jesus lives in me and for me to deliver me from the power this world would have over me. And he gives us communion just as kind of this reminder that it's not just past tense, it's present tense. And when, do you remember what Jesus said? I think I say this every time we have communion because it's one of my favorite lines where Jesus says, hey, I'm not going to drink wine again until I have it with you when my kingdom comes. I guess that's a way of saying when this present evil age is over. So remember, we all get to drink wine with Jesus. Yes. Nobody will be a teetotaler when we're with Jesus. We're going to drink wine together. I'm not even a big wine fan, but hey, learn to like it, right? It's an amazing thing. Your freedom was purchased by the death of someone who became a servant, right? Even to death on a cross. My deliverance comes through someone who delivered himself over to death, right? And since communion is a time to confess sin and find once again the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus, I thought to myself, I have a very embarrassing sin to confess. I think I'll confess it to the whole church. Thank you. See, you guys don't mind me doing this, but when I'm done, we're just going up and down the rows. Just pick one. You guys can volunteer. No, I did something very embarrassingly sinful this week, and I just have to tell you about it because it fits so well. Because Paul doesn't have an angle. He just have a message and a Savior. So it's Labor Day morning, and I'm just like extra long time reading, and I'm like doing laundry, and I'm doing dishes. I'm just kind of chilling out on Labor Day morning, right? And my doorbell rings. And I'm always reminded that, remember when you were a kid and it was exciting when the doorbell rang? Like you raced your brother and sister to see who was at the door because it was gotta be somebody cool. Yay, company. And mom kept like this cake in the fridge because it was for company. Don't you touch that cake. That's for when company comes by. Ooh, maybe it's company and we can eat that cake. Yeah, right. Some of you are with me now. You're tracking, right? Now when somebody comes to the door, it's like, and you're thinking solar panels, roofing, Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are the categories. Termites, bugs, any other categories you're thinking? What? Tree trimming, curb lettering. You see, it's everybody that just wants something from me or wants me in their cult. So, do you see? Oh, man, I need rescue from this present evil age. So I'm already complaining in my heart, and I'm not even to the door yet. I've got a bad attitude about who's going to sell me something on the other side of that door. I can't stand that I'm this way. I wish I were different, but I'm not. I go to the door, and there stands a guy with a hat on, and I notice he has a Bible in his hand. I'm like, okay, it's a cult. So he's not, at least it's not solar panels. It's a cult. So, okay, this could be interesting, but I didn't. Sometimes I'm like, oh boy, I get to talk to a cult. And sometimes I just don't feel like talking to a cult, right? And it was a day where I didn't feel like talking to a cult. But he wasn't dressed very cultish, so I was thrown off a bit. This guy's good, right? And so he's there, and I'm just like, And he's standing there, and I'm just obviously not, I don't want to talk to him. And I'm confessing this to you right now. I had a bad attitude. And so I'm just like, hey, man, good to see you out on Labor Day, knocking on my door, you know. And to top it all off, he's got this, like, he's young, and he's got, like, this young, pretty wife and three really cute kids. Like, they're the trump card out there, like, oh, of course I'll listen to you. Look at your cute family, right? And they're out on the sidewalk waving, and I'm like, oh, bro, really? So, and I'm just like, okay, where are you from? And he goes, down the street. I'm like, no, really, where are you from? And he goes, and he didn't know what to say. And I literally looked at him and said, what's your angle? What's your angle right now? I'm awful. I'm so awful. I said, what's your angle? What's your angle right now? I know you're going to tell me about the kingdom. You're going to tell me about Joseph Smith. What's your angle right now? Oh my goodness. He did the most humbling thing. He looked at me and he said, I don't have an angle. Jesus has just been really, really merciful to me. And then he started sharing his testimony. And then he started sharing the gospel. And can I just tell you, he was so humble and so like humbly earnest, like not like in your face passionate, but like quiet and humble. But he meant it. And then I noticed as he was moving his Bible, it said New American Standard, not like New World or anything cultish. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy's for real. What have I done? And I started to be just convicted. And I'm like, oh man, bro, I'm sorry. That's not even a cult Bible. And I'm like apologizing to him. And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I said New American Standard. I saw it on your Bible. And he was like, he looked at me and he said, how did you see that? I was like, man, that's the first thing I look for when the guy comes to my door with the Bible. He was like, wow, that was good. And I'm like, I said, man, that is a beautiful testimony. He like told me his whole story. And he said, yeah, it was her. She led me to Jesus. And it was just like the most humbling, beautiful, like this guy loved Jesus and was thankful for the mercy of Jesus. And I felt like a jerk and his family was the whole thing. He had it. And he's inviting me to his house for a Bible study. That's all he wanted. And I'm like, what's your angle, bro? And it's Labor Day. What are you doing here messing with me, right? I'm just, oh man, I'm such a jerk. So he's like, oh, good gracious. He didn't have an angle. He had no angle whatsoever. He was just a humble guy who loved Jesus and had a testimony and wanted me to come to his house for a Bible study. Quiet, humble, and I'm just like, bro, you're the best. I can't come to your Bible study on that particular day, but I would love breakfast with you. Do you like to get up early? He's like, I love to get up early. I said, I love to get up early too. Let's have breakfast sometime. We email, and I'm like, okay, there's nobody in the house next door. There's a family here, and he said, oh, she already told me, go away. I'm like, yeah, she's kind of like that, but and he's like, nice guy there, but anyway, yeah, they're not jerks like me. So, it's just, what a tough day that guy probably had. Guys like me. It's just so fascinating to me. I say this a lot. If you've been in the church for 50 years, do you know how many times you've done this? Like, you do this once a month, 12 times a year for 50 years. You've done this, math teacher, 12 times 50, 600 times. Thank you very much over here. 600 times. Some people are pushing 1,000 on this thing. Really, again, we're having communion? No, we're having communion, and it's like so simple that Jesus has been merciful to us, and he's rescuing us, and he gave us blood and his body to do that. And there's no angle. There's no angle on this. I got nothing but a Savior who gave himself to deliver us, and he lost his freedom so we could have freedom. And he delivered himself to death so that we could have life. And I just... there's no angle to me right now. I'm not hiding anything. It's just simple, beautiful gospel salvation. And I can confess that. No, I can tell that horrible story about myself because there's freedom right here in the body and blood of Jesus. Who wants to tell their story next? No, just kidding. We won't do that. I get to be the goofball up here telling my story. You guys have your own stories that somebody you were a jerk to this week, I'm sure, don't you? This is just the perfect time. This is just the perfect time in your own heart to just say, thank you, Jesus. You have been so merciful. Your word comes to me and you don't have an angle. You just have salvation. Your word comes to me and you don't have ulterior motives. You just love me and you want to save me. You want to deliver me. You want to give me freedom. I can just open up my
You've been listening to Sunday morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.